because it's really bad
anything
news.
More about,
we've got to get it on the regular
anything
radio.
Anything more about
too.
Title IV? Or?
No, just
see,
what I said
talking
before.
Talking philosophically
it
about...
It needs to be exposed to the citizens of this town. They can't make that big a change and act like it's just a departmental
so
thing.
You would encourage people to call in? I bet you your candidate Kennedy supports Title IV, by the way.
He was one of the...
Well, the whole council there seems to.
His council, according to Scott Graham, is the council that voted to do it. So perhaps you should
call
him up and tell him this, to change his mind on that issue. Maybe you can have that impact, Linda.
That's a good idea.
No, it's a crazy idea because you'll never have any impact on him. But
well, then
if you think that that's a good idea, you should go for it. Anyway, I'll talk to you more later, unless there's more you want to say.
Just make sure you're there before the Title IV thing gets aired.
Oh, I think I said my piece on Title IV.
No,
but
I
mean
at the city council thing.
Yeah,
not yourself bodily.
I would encourage everyone to give a call again to the city council line at 420-5017 and say don't appoint more building inspectors with vast powers who right now have the power to condemn a number of accessory dwelling units and that will leave a lot more people homeless. So I think that's a good thing to let people know and a good thing to let the city council know. People should also know that Christopher Crone, although apparently he missed the last meeting, will be having a usually meets at 5:30 at the Cafe Pergolesi with people who show up there. So it's possible to go there and watch him talk at you, even though he doesn't seem to keep his word on issues and doesn't seem to remember what he does promise, and also doesn't seem to be able to hear what you're saying. But if you can get through those three barriers, you may get some action there. And he is the only council member who does that. So I'm going to thank you, Linda, and move on.
Tell me what day he does
that's
that.
On Monday. That's Monday. Tomorrow at 5:30 at the Cafe Pergolesi.
Talk to
you later.
Bye.
And you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Sometimes get a little hot and close with some of the folks on the air, and that's okay. We have the right to disagree with each other, and we should, except for me. You can't disagree with me. What do you think, Scott?
Well, Robert, I've noticed that anytime somebody disagrees with you, they have hell to pay.
Well, we work on that. I try to, bring home their innate failure to understand the real situation immediately to hand.
Right. I can't really understand Linda's support for Scott Kennedy. I mean, there's something going on there. It must be pain pills kicking in or something. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, there are many people who support Scott Kennedy. It's just strange that Linda does because she is so knowledgeable on a lot of the homeless issues where Kennedy's been so horrible. I suppose some would say he's...
Downtown ordinances,
right.
The box stores.
I got an incoming call here. Perhaps this person can elucidate.
Hi, do you support Scott Kennedy?
No. Hi, Robert.
Kennedy.
However, I do have a minor criticism of you.
Oh, no. Well, I'm going to have to immediately attack you then. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know why you would want to attack me.
Well, I mean, I'm a known pit bull on these issues, but go ahead.
You know, when you asked Linda why she was supporting Scott Kennedy,
yes,
you didn't give her a real chance to answer that.
She
you
was
just
hysterical.
Interrupted right away, and that's not really fair to your audience. I'm sorry, that's my criticism.
No, I appreciate that. In fact, if Linda's listening, if you want to give a discussion of why you support Scott Kennedy, please call back, and we'll be happy to give you some minutes to talk about that. I thought Linda had become a little embarrassed about supporting Scott Kennedy, and it really was really kind of a twitting her because I thought that she was withdrawing her endorsement. But there are some people whose opinions I respect who support Scott Kennedy. I think they're wrong, and they have to do with Kennedy's work around creating the homeless service center. They have to do with low-income housing in some ways, and I don't have all the details. I actually have an interview with an individual who sounded pretty coherent and seemed relatively good person, but he certainly disagreed with me, and I appreciate you bringing that up, Bernard.
Sure, and I would like to, if you're listening out there, Linda, I really would like you to call in, and I really would like to really know very clearly why you're supporting this man.
All right, then.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So, is it Scott Kennedy or Scott Graham? That's the question. Oh, here's perhaps a call from
Linda LeMaster.
Or possibly Scott Kennedy. Let's see.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert. This is Eleanor.
Hi, Eleanor. How are you?
I'm okay. Brief call. This is the second time I heard Linda LeMaster speak positively about Scott Kennedy. And the first time I heard her, I was kind of delighted that there was somebody else that I was surprised that there was somebody else that saw positive in him besides me. I'm not saying I'm going to vote for him. I'm kind of vote shy in Santa Cruz. I'm definitely voting for Steve Argue. However, I just had a positive feeling about him from when I first met him personally, because I came before the city council. It was the very first time I did, and I spoke before the city council, and I spoke rather strongly. And after that time, none of the city council members until this day, when they see me, they look around me or through me or down. They don't want to know me. Scott Kennedy is the only one who met me with practically open arms and was very friendly and smiley and said hello to me first. And that impressed me, that he wasn't a person who was automatically turned off by what I had to say, which might have been in opposition to his position, or that my position in life might have been one that he looked down upon, because at the time I was homeless. And so, and also very disabled, and these are the things that we have prejudices towards in this community, unfortunately, when you speak out against their view, or if you're homeless, or if you're disabled. These are all no-nos if you want to have any clout in this town. And I just wanted to voice that I did see that in him. I'm not certain about what I'm going to do yet, but it was refreshing. It was kind of surprising to hear that there was another person that felt that way, at least in our circles, anyway.
Well, I appreciate your speaking your view honestly, Eleanor, and particularly since you know I disagree with you, I'm sure, in terms of...
Oh, yeah. Well, I think you know more about these people than I do. Well, some of them, anyway. And Scott Kennedy, I think certainly I don't really know much about him because he's kind of before my time in my political involvement so closely within Santa Cruz. So there are probably a lot of things that you know that I don't, but that
I know everything. Keep that in mind.
Okay, I will. So I will know to come to you when I want to know anything.
Okay.
I'm going to go now. Thank you so much for the opportunity to talk.
Sure.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And this is the Free Radio Santa Cruz Scott Kennedy hotline here. If anybody has any more information.
Scott Kennedy Love Fest.
We have. I mean, I think actually... I'm glad to hear people calling in who have different views. I, of course, take issue, as I've said, but please express your views. That's what we're about here. Scott, anything you want to say on the subject while we're...
The subject of Scott Kennedy? Or?
The election, Scott Kennedy. I guess that's where we're at the moment.
Well, as far as the city council elections go, I think that every effort should be made by anyone that wants an open, honest government to make sure Scott Kennedy does not get elected. I mean, because the one thing that Scott Kennedy is known for is closing down debate, silencing his critics, being arrogant beyond all recognition.
Now, can you be specific? These are serious charges. Do you have any particular incidents you want to bring up?
Well, like during the beach hearings, he was constantly... making motions to limit debate, you know, even public input. Well, let's put everyone down to 1 minute or 2 minutes instead of giving people 3 minutes. Even when the public hearings were going on in the Civic Center, they spent almost 45 minutes debating whether or not people should get 3 minutes, 2 minutes, or 1 minute to talk.
I remember that, yeah. Well, my problems with Kennedy, of course, have to do primarily with his year as mayor in 1994, when he supported the Ask for a Dime After Dark Peacefully Go to Jail law, and at the same time was sponsoring a Gandhi forum. I mean, I found this just the most blatant hypocrisy, to criminalize people for begging at night, even peacefully, in the city limits. And the reason he was doing this, I think it was clearly pointed out, was because he wanted to cement an alliance with the merchants to rebuild the city. I mean, he had, you know, what he considered to be good motivations. He wanted to make sure that revenue sources were available for the kinds of, let's say, even say, social programs that he felt were good. You really have to make your choices as to whether you think his decisions on these kinds of questions were good ones. I mean, I remember also his... I've seen him at action, what I regard as misrepresenting issues around the downtown ordinances, which were not just this ask for a dime after dark, go to jail ordinance, but the sit on the sidewalk ordinance. That was much more famous. Kennedy defended this ordinance endlessly, even after the judges overruled it.
Just like he does the sleeping ban.
And Kennedy took a kind of a Janus, I would say, two-faced position on the whole camping ban. He claimed to oppose the whole camping ban. He would come to protests and say, "I oppose the camping ban," he would tell people quietly at protests. But he would never say such a thing at city council. And in fact, when the issue, he would never bring up the issue of changing or modifying the sleeping sections of the camping ban, or the whole camping ban, if you will, whatever, because he said he opposed the whole ordinance at one point. And at several points, and that was when he talked to protesters. This was sort of the tactic of talking to one group and giving one message before another group giving another message. And this is traditionally what many politicians do, but it's actually known more conventionally in everyday speech as lying. You can't give two stories to different groups. You're not telling one group the truth. And what you really have to do is judge on the basis of a person's behavior in office. And his behavior in office was to do such things as, for instance, to try to shut down the protest at City Hall in 1996 by getting a court injunction. He and Rotkin were going for this, to make sure that nobody could walk through the City Hall grounds at night. The whole area was going to be ruled out of bounds. He supported an injunction against the City Council, against protesters against the City Council, the City Hall Sleepers Vigil, it was called, and it was led by Sean Alimi and Dan Hopkins at that time. It went on for 7.5 months. And indeed, there was a very good reason for that vigil, and this just is the same reason there is today, that police were arresting and ticketing and harassing homeless people for a basic human need, to sleep. And we've heard a lot of rhetoric on this issue from city council candidates, but no support clearly for substantive proposals other than from Steve Argue, and I guess you and I think I thought maybe Scott Bugenthal and Bonnie Moore, though again they seem to be subsiding into more mushy talk about sleeping zones, safe sleeping zones. So other things with Scott Kennedy, he has repeatedly said he's going to come to this radio station and speak, and every single time he's canceled. And he's done so often without even letting us know. So I think there's a certain, perhaps the word arrogance, perhaps the word...
Has he ever called in?
Scott Kennedy has never called this radio station. In fact, maybe we should do is try to get our producer to get Scott Kennedy on the line and address some of these issues. You know, he has been welcome to come in here and debate me on this issue and to be questioned like other council candidates. He did come very briefly to the homeless working group candidate discussion forum. He stayed for about half an hour, 45 minutes. We have some of his comments on tape, and we can play some of those, so that might help folks who weren't around, as they say, when during the 8 years of the 8-year reign of the Kennedy-Rotkin Council. That's what it was, folks. It was the Kennedy-Rotkin Council. And if you like the big box stores, because Kennedy voted for those, if you liked the Gateway Project, if you liked Beach South of Laurel, 3rd Street realignment, that's Kennedy. You know, this stuff is, and I don't think he has repudiated it in any way. I'm not aware that he's changed his position. So, I think he represents a conservative party, the kind of like the Democrats who support Gore rather than the folks who support Nader. When I was in prison for serving free food, or jail actually, county jail in San Francisco, he kind of wrote me this this letter, which said sort of a ha ha told you so letter. He has not supported the right of homeless people to serve free food in San Francisco. We asked Rotkin and others to oppose my being sent to jail for that purpose. He wouldn't do that. He's big on the, you know, protests in Washington and Nicaragua and the Middle East, and that's good. I think those are issues that are important, but they're also fashionable issues far away from Santa Cruz. You know, I mean, we got to consider what's happening here. He's the person who brought the guns into the Resource Center for Nonviolence. He backed police programs in the South of Laurel area, which split the Resource Center for Nonviolence down the middle. They didn't want cops with guns to become using that as they're, you know, walking in with their weapons on, and have a paid police person there as a part of a, you know, liaison person. Kennedy has he entered office with one set of claims and he left with another. And he, to some extent, admits this. At the neighborhood forum, you may remember, he stated he came into office believing one thing about the camping ban ordinance and then left believing another.
I think that's the same on many issues, that he came into office, you know, with all these ideals and saying he was going to, you know, put his ideals into action. And in no short order, he became a lackey for the business interests downtown and elsewhere in the city. Real estate interest in Aptos.
Well, I will credit him with one thing. I want to be full in my account. The one good thing I remember him doing in the last 3 or 4 years before he left office was when Rotkin was trying to ram through a law that would have stopped the drummers downtown in 1996, and Tom Noddy and I and others urged the council to reconsider and try to do instead the street performers guidelines kind of thing, which is a voluntary set of guidelines which street performers have, where they, you know, they're asked to move on after an hour, and also merchants, it's a two-edged sword, are asked to tolerate people for an hour at least who are performing downtown. It was kind of set up in 1980-81 with under Jan Luby and Tom Noddy, the Bubble Man, when he was on the streets and hadn't yet made the Johnny Carson show and so forth. Kennedy actually helped to intervene and turn a series of regulations into a series of negotiations. And that really is what I had hoped Kennedy would do from the beginning. He talked a lot about conflict resolution. He talked a lot about, and he put, for example, a mediation provision into the Police Review Board. But unfortunately, as he should have known, had he talked to the people who were really knowledgeable on the issue, the police have refused the mediation provision to have nothing to do with the Police Review Board in terms of I've attempted to do mediations with the police. They won't do it. They want to insist that there be no complaints filed if you do a mediation. So you give up your option to. In fact, that was passed by the Kennedy City Council, that you give up your option. And again, concession after concession to simply the police department's agenda. And it's not that the police department is always wrong in every issue. It's not that, you know, that the police don't have a legitimate role to play in our society in Santa Cruz. But there has to be a series of checks and balances. There has to be legitimate consideration for those the police department have treated badly. And if the police department is engaging in bad policies, they have to change them. And, you know, we brought the issue of this whole parking structure, a safe parking place to sleep for women and children. That's what we asked for in 1990. And Kennedy gave it over to the city manager's office, assistant city manager Gay Strand, under, I guess it was Dick Wilson, or maybe it was somebody else at that time, held that for 8 months. And we kept asking Kennedy, what the hell has happened to this proposal? And he said, I don't want to offend the assistant city manager. That's what he kept telling us. So until 1992, we moved in and sat in the offices of the city manager. We said, we're not going to move until this fucking proposal gets out. And I'm sorry to use such strong language for all of you folks out there, but it's kind of nasty when women and children have to sleep unsafely at night, as they do tonight, as they did in 1992 when we went back to the city council. And they finally voted it out with a whole series of... the staff gave it a slant which made it look like it was financially unworkable to do that. And Kennedy essentially didn't defend it or act for it at all. So I fault him for that. And I actually have a list of all the things that Kennedy has, shall we say, disappointed me on, enraged me on. And I think that to say that the man has 8 years of experience is certainly true. And in a way, it's a good reason not to reelect him, because those 8 years of experience, we should have also had 8 years of experience, and hopefully we have 8 years of experiencing him in office and what his choices have been. And they have, I think, as Scott has said, cutting back debate, holding things behind closed doors. For instance, police review was being held behind closed doors. The only police review in the early 90s was what's called the Public Safety Subcommittee of the City Council. Kennedy was holding closed meetings with the police chief, he and Byers. And the way we opened that up was not by appealing to Kennedy's sense of to do this, but by walking into the meeting, Nick Whitehead and I, and saying, we're not leaving. Lo and behold, the next meeting was open. And every subsequent meeting of the Public Safety Subcommittee, although they did nothing about most things, was open. Similarly with Keith Sugar, we saw this happen with the Citizens Police Review Board City Council. They, too, had to have their meetings opened up by activists actually walking in. Ask Kennedy when's the last time he did some actual activism here in Santa Cruz. I remember his trying to calm down, cool out protesters at the Iraqi war. His main, it was sort of aiding the police and, you know, making sure that people kept a low profile. He didn't want to see people burning an American flag, for instance. He thought that was a bad idea. I don't necessarily think it's the best idea, although actually at one time I burned an American flag there. But I think that it kind of shows you Kennedy has moved from a militant stance on some issues when some people were really upset with the massive military involvement overseas to a kind of a conservative or middle-of-the-road stance where he's kind of playing ball with the power structure. And you might say, well, you got to play ball with the power structure because, you know, they got if you haven't got the balls, you got to play with their balls. No, I mean, that's a little nasty for me to say. If you want to get somewhere in a position of power, you have to deal with power. But the question is, where do we get? And I guess that's really the question we have to answer. And I'm sorry to take up so much time about Kennedy. I've got a bunch of news briefs from the Internet. I want to, however, before we go any further, get to the key thing that is coming up on Tuesday night about 5 o'clock, which is a resolution of the Redevelopment Agency of the city approving the acquisition of property owned by Terry Neal and the Victoria L. McElroy and Barbara Lottman trustee. Essentially, it's the Dolphin property. It's the purchase of the Dolphin property. And I guess what I want to do is read this and have you comment on it, Scott. I think, a significant document. If I can get in the right order, it would be very nice. There's a staff report, and then there's a document.
And the resolution.
And there's a resolution. Here's the staff report. The recommendation is that the Redevelopment Agency adopt a resolution authorizing the executive director to enter into an agreement for the purchase and sale of real property with, again, the owners, for property located at 136 LeBrant Avenue. Background, its July 25th meeting, the Redevelopment Agency directed staff to negotiate acquisition agreements with the owners of the subject property with the intention of land banking the property until such time as an affordable housing project is developed for implementation. Now, Scott, you're here in the studio. Anytime you want to interrupt or have some comments, please just let me know.
All right.
Discussion. Now, I should say myself, this July 25th resolution was notorious. We've talked about it before. This is the resolution that ignored the scan resolution protecting the tenants, saying you don't proceed further with the Dolphin Lee project unless you have guarantees that everybody who gets bounced out of there gets to come back. And what they did to kind of finesse this, rather than negotiate with the tenants, rather than allow the tenants to speak through their own relocation advisory committee, which City Council also dissolved on July 25th and didn't allow to meet for 2 months through its kind of puppet chair, Yolanda Goda, who was a City Council appointee and the chair of that meeting, not elected by the residents, as far as I know. What happened there was that the July 25th resolution severed the Lee tenants from this whole process because they were the lead people in organizing the Residente Unidos group, which said, give us real guarantees before we do anything else. And they said that we won't even put together a plan, a replacement housing plan, until we get those guarantees. And if they are guaranteed by law, as we keep hearing Mayor Sugar tell us, and we keep hearing Cecil Cirillo of the Redevelopment Agency tell us, and Elizabeth Vogel of Mercer Cherry's Housing tell us, then it shouldn't be any problem for you to add an additional statement by the City Council. We guarantee that everybody who gets evicted will get a legal contract that they can come back. Because it's guaranteed by law, right? Well, wrong. It's not guaranteed by law. That's going to be the problem, and that's going to be the focus of the discussion at the Dolphin Forum. That was going to be the debate at that forum on October 28th and will be the focus of the debate, although we understand Mercy Charities Housing is now pulling out of that forum. Again, buttressed by the steering committee's decision on Wednesday that they don't want to support the forum without any particular reasons, of course. The reasons, of course, don't stand up under the light of day. The reasons are that they just want City Council to proceed without looking more closely at what's going on, is what seems to be the problem. So the Reading here, the agreement for the purchase and sale of the real property, staff has negotiated an agreement with Terry and Victoria McElroy and Barbara Lottman for the property at 136 LeBrand Avenue. Terms of the agreement include the agency's standard language. It is proposed to close escrow on the property no later than November 15th, 2000. That, of course, is before the new city council will be seated. So the new city council won't have a say in this matter. So the electorate won't have a say in this matter. So the tenants won't have a say in this matter. Preliminary inspections of the property have occurred. With respect to the requirement for a replacement housing plan, the resolution approving the acquisition of the property further directs staff to proceed with the preparation of a replacement housing plan and relocation plan prior to the execution of any agreement for the development of an affordable housing project on the property. Now, what this means, Scott, as I understand it, is before you go for an affordable housing plan, you have to have this plan where everybody who's there gets, or you got to at least claim you want to bring back, you got to tell them what you're planning to put in its place.
Right. Well, you have to have a replacement housing plan plus a relocation plan. So the relocation plan would be identifying units that these people could actually move into with the money that redevelopment is going to give them as their stipend to make up the difference for the rent they're paying now and the rent they're going to have to pay wherever they're relocated to, which, you know, under current law is about $125 a month, which is the maximum allowed by California redevelopment law.
Not much money for rent in Santa Cruz. And again, that's per unit.
It's
not per individual or per family, and some of these have as many as two families. I don't know if some of them may have three, but I know at least some of them have two families of 5 to 8 people. So that's a lot of people. $125 for what? 4 to 16 people, and at Santa Cruz rates, that's going to be interesting to see what kind of housing they can get for that kind of money. That's one of the reasons that the tenants said, we're not going to even talk about this replacement housing plan, this relocation plan, until you give us clear guarantees that everybody, to start with, who's here now, will be able to come back. Relatively simple statement. But, of course, it was something the city ran from very quickly when it was proposed. Continuing this agreement, which is coming up on Tuesday at the 5 o'clock City Council meeting of the purchase of the Dolphin property, there's a thing about the Environmental Equality Act that says it doesn't apply. And then Mr. McElroy invited his tenants to a meeting on August 7th at which representatives of Mercy Charities Housing and Redevelopment staff, they always seem to be together, were present to answer questions and to explain to the residents the actions being taken by the agency. And I believe they're having another meeting on Monday as well. That's what I've heard through the grapevine. The residents continue to request assurances that the new housing would be for them. Now, Residentes Unidos, the tenant group, which has some members of the Dolphin but mostly members from the Lee in it, is meeting in the Lee Apartments at 7:30 tomorrow night, and the community is invited, so feel free to come to this meeting. And they're having a fiesta next Sunday at 2 o'clock with food by India Joe Schultz, and people are invited to come to that, and the city council candidates have been invited to come, mingle with the tenants, talk to them, and be a part of the process, the real process, the process that city council refuses to do, of meeting with the tenants. And then there's more discussion of how this does not involve CEQA guidelines, and says further that it's not really a project, and this is one of the things they tried to do on July 25th, the City Council. They tried to end the idea that it was a project so they could dissolve the Relocation Advisory Committee, which is the only committee where the tenants have any real voice. They can actually direct Council Members Hernandez and Fitzmaurice, who are on that committee, to go back to City Council and ask things. So they actually get a voice more than the 2 or 3 minutes that Mayor Keith Sugar so generously allows them when he bothers to have Spanish language translation facilities available. And you may remember, Scott, that the last couple of times they haven't had Spanish language translation facilities available. They had Martin Bernal giving atrocious translations. They had Michael Hernandez trying to translate. I mean, atrocious is a little strong, but certainly it didn't seem to be adequate to me.
No, especially Hernandez. It seems like he has very little command of the Spanish language.
Well, it's an art to be able to translate rapidly, and the city council is responsible for having people there to do it. And they've been trying throughout the summer, to their credit, to do it more, but they haven't been doing it recently because, again, this is the done deal syndrome. And again, I think the reason behind the recent SCAN steering committee abrupt action terminating trying to terminate anyway, the Housing Committee, and trying to terminate any affiliation with the Dolphin Project, and also, by the way, barring me from SCAN headquarters for allegedly looking into secret documents. And actually, I was looking at two binders that had to do with police review and the Beach Flats area, and they're not in any way secret as far as I know. So it's interesting that these issues have been made a pretext for attacking the Housing Committee as well, in which I sit. And it all seems to me to be pretty much the same ball of wax, which is some people at the center of SCAN and at the City Council and in the Planning Department and in the Redevelopment Agency, all these folks want this project on the fast track, and they want it done before the new council comes in. And this, of course, is what this sale or purchase of the property is going to do, at least as far as putting the Dolphin in the hands of the City Council. And you might say, well, if it's put in the hands and it's land banked, what's the harm? It's out of the way of private developers who might gentrify and evict tenants and not give them any relocation money at all. I mean, the city will give them a pittance, perhaps, but the actual landlords, like Charlie Canfield, who emptied across the street the Pink Palace Rex Court area, which is also, by the way, up for being purchased by the city, he didn't give them anything at all. So shouldn't we be, at least weighing the lesser of two evils, go with the city? What do you think, Scott?
Well, the problem is that they're not allowing any real tenant input on this whole process. I mean, Veronica Lopez marched in a handful of people that all said, oh, we hate Robert Norris, and we want this project to go forward.
Veronica Lopez is an employee, first of the Redevelopment Agency and then of Mercy Charities Housing, who also, according to what I've heard from several people who live down there or work around the Dolphin Properties, is scheduled to be the manager under Mercy Charities Housing of the Dolphin Apartments. I don't know this for a fact. This, again, is what's rumored.
But there has been no vehicle other than Replacement Housing Committee that was set up, the Relocation Committee that was set up by the city, which has now been disbanded by the city, for real tenant input into this whole process. And so what they're attempting to do now is sidestep all of the opposition to this and just go forward with this plan as if there is no opposition, as if everything's just great. And I'm not so sure that the tenants of the Dolphin are going to be that happy with the idea of having Mercy Charities be their landlord until the city comes up with another project to do on that site.
And that is part of this purchase agreement, at least it's referred to in here, at least in terms of the staff report. Am I looking at the staff report? I'm looking.
Well, they already voted on it on the 25th to make Mercy Charities the...
They did. But I think they're going to finalize that contract either next week or in 2 weeks at another city council meeting, again, before the new council comes in, again, without any real tenant negotiation through a body like the Relocation Advisory Committee that did have some, at least the power to speak. They didn't have the power to actually take any action. I guess they had the power to pass a replacement housing plan and a relocation plan, or what, maybe just the replacement housing plan is what they had the power to. But they had the power to block it, too, and they did. The tenant said, we aren't going to go for any plan until you talk about the guarantees. And the council's response has been not to talk about the guarantees, but instead to sever half the tenants from this whole process, the lead tenants, and to dissolve the Relocation Advisory Committee, which was criticizing the council.
Right. And, this all just goes to the arrogance of the council. Every single one of them has refused to really listen to the tenants. Some of them have spoken to the tenants, but they don't listen to them.
And interestingly enough, the same process of dissolving bodies that have critics happened again this last Wednesday.
At SCAN.
At the SCAN Steering Committee, which met in a private home. Didn't meet in the usual office.
Unannounced to the SCAN membership.
Unannounced to the SCAN membership, although they did say at the previous meeting they'd be meeting in Rena's home. I hadn't heard it. I didn't know where it was. People that I know were going to go down, if they had intended to go, I guess Lydia had planned to go down there, and Bernard from the Housing Committee, and they would have presumably found an office locked and not know where to go, although perhaps there was...
Ted Lottie might have known.
Yeah. Ted Lottie is the man who initiated my expulsion and barring from the SCAN headquarters. That's the... seems to be the situation there for that. By the way, all these things, though I mentioned them on the air as accomplished facts, I hope are not accomplished facts. I am hoping that the SCAN steering committee takes a step back from this whole thing and says, look, we, you know, we are in the middle of an election. We had to move quickly. We may have acted precipitously. We think people have a right to be present at before they're declared a persona non grata.
I think Bernice Belton's calling it.
It looks like a phone call is coming in. But again, I note that this idea of dissolving the housing committee, the primary place where critics were coming from, they're apparently learning from Yolanda Goda and Keith Sugar on the city council. I mean, and learning bad lessons, it looks like. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert. This is Lydia.
Hi, Lydia.
Inaccuracy. First of all, would you give the number for call-ins?
I sure will.
Occasionally.
I'm sorry. Let me say it right now. 427-3772. Go ahead.
Lydia Blanchard. I do... you got my call because you mentioned my name inaccurately, at least in relation to
Oh, please, correct any misinformation.
I was told I was called because I had called to say I had called the scan office and Bernice Belton to tell them that I wanted to come in during public comments at the beginning of the steering committee last Wednesday, October 4, mm-hmm. to make my comments about the lack of environmental questions and very specific homeless questions to the city council mm-hmm. in the scan forum. I got sick, I couldn't go, but in the interim between my saying I couldn't go and my asking to go, I was called back and told that there was a change of venue and where it was going to be in the private home. And I really need for that information to be accurately presented because I have told you.
Sure, I apologize. What I know is that Bernard, who was thinking of going down there, was not
yes.
told that. Now, he didn't call SCAN to find out, but what I'm saying is that any members of the Housing Committee other than you and possibly Maureen that I'm aware of might not have known where to go and certainly weren't you weren't informed that this item about the Housing Committee dissolution was on the agenda.
None of this was, and I'd like to
right.
ask you whether you've received anything in writing regarding the dissolution of the committee, the Housing and Homelessness
yes.
Committee, or you have.
Mm-hmm.
I've requested a copy of that.
I received it on the email. The email statement, I actually should try to read, and if I can't find it, I'm going to ask if maybe my producer is listening. She can read it. And I am sorry for that inaccuracy, Lydia. You did get told by phone after you had initially contacted
yes,
them yourself.
And for all I know, they posted it on the door. I do not know.
It's possible. They may have posted it on the door.
But let me also say that I withdrew from the Homeless and Housing Committee in part for personal reasons and in part because I was very concerned about the tenor of the meetings, the inability of individual members of the committee to respect one another personally in regard to all of this discussion. Robert, I could not agree more with you 100% on 99% at least of your content. It is wonderful, and I totally support your program.
And I appreciate your corrections. I think that's important, too, sure.
And you have mentioned that you and Scott were asked not to participate in the October 28 forum.
Actually, I haven't mentioned that this show, but that was true. We were asked not to participate by Mercy Charities Housing, who
yes.
have now withdrawn from the forum.
And this became a topic of discussion and voting of the Housing and Homelessness Committee. Also, the issue of your using the binders without having requested of SCAN. I had not heard reference either from you or anyone else, and I haven't talked to anybody else about it, to the term secret. I only know that from your earlier description.
I was using it sarcastically. I'm
yeah.
sorry.
They
aren't secret.
Yeah.
So, as far as I know, let me clarify that. I talked to Tom Shaver, who in essence is the man who uses that cubicle space and
he is the only one and only staff coordinator of SCAN.
He is the staff coordinator. I told him it was my understanding that these documents, with the exception of the lists of SCAN members were, as far as according to the bylaws, at least they were not closed to the public.
Yeah, but it's total necessary courtesy.
Right. Oh, no, I understand the courtesy.
Know what binder you open and whether it's
right, but he didn't go out of his way to find out, and neither did anybody on the steering committee. There was no attempt to bring me before the committee to say what's going on.
Yeah.
Can't you be more courteous? And I would say, sure. I'm sorry. I thought it was something that Tom would have no problem with. He wasn't at our meeting.
Well, I suggest
so,
that you go to the steering committee.
Well, yeah, sure, but I mean, we're talking about it a key election period where I think this has I'm really strongly of the belief that this is politically motivated, at least in the parts of several people on that steering committee.
So, Our ball of wax is our ball of wax, not theirs.
But let's they affect our, bell, our ball of wax.
They do.
That's
so
the
let's,
point.
Let's affect back, and let's not try to second guess where they're at personally. And by personally, I mean where they are politically as individuals.
Well,
let's. Okay.
I understand your position. No, no, and I think, and I understand you try, and I think that what I've requested, and I think what others on the Housing Committee or who are maybe not on the Housing Committee officially like yourself anymore, but who want to see a good process, and tell me if I'm quoting you wrong on this, I think we're looking to have, are you looking to have this decision revisited at a meeting where people can actually be present who were the principals involved?
Which issue?
All three issues. The issue of the dissolution of the Housing Committee, the issue of the disaffiliation of SCAN from the forum, and the issue of the banning of me and the strange from the office.
Yeah, well, I think it needs to be discussed in general meeting, and it will be discussed if I have anything to do with it in general meeting on the 13th.
And that, of course, is coming up, and that is in the community police station at 7 o'clock. The community room there.
Yeah.
It is
the SCAN meeting at the police department, whatever, community room.
Well, at least we'll be well protected.
Okay.
Hey, thank you, Lydia. Any other thoughts on any of the other issues that you want to let us know about?
No, I'll call back if they do come up.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. So that's Lydia keeping me honest, as she should. Here's another person. Maybe we can get some more corrections, or perhaps we can get some of the other side here. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Yeah, it was Barbara Lewis who was intending to come to the steering committee meeting and almost did. And had she done so, she would have gone down to an empty office.
But possibly an office with a note on the door. We don't know.
Possibly.
Possibly.
I do have that email from Nora Hockman, if you're interested in.
Sure. This is the email that SCAN sent out 2 days later. Again, after...
Dated Friday, October 6th. And she sent it out to a lot of people, too. Not just people on the Housing Committee.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she sent it to John Laird and Chris Crone and Doc Arnie Leff, people like that.
Mm-hmm.
It says, dear members of the SCAN Housing Subcommittee, misnomer there, and other interested parties. At the October 4th meeting of the SCAN Steering Committee, members unanimously voted to take the unprecedented action to dissolve the current Housing Subcommittee. We received notice of the resignation of the chair of the Housing Subcommittee, Maureen Smith, and the steering committee is now seeking new directions and projects to respond to the housing crisis in Santa Cruz. The steering committee remains committed to working on housing and homelessness and intends to convene a new working group following the November elections. The steering committee also voted to withdraw its support from the planned televised forum on Beach Flats housing. Should the forum proceed, recipients of this message should know that the forum is not SCAN-sponsored, endorsed, or supported in any way. If you have any questions, please direct them to Bernice Belton.
Mm-hmm.
On behalf of the steering committee, Bernice Belton, co-chair, Sandy Brown, co-chair.
Now, is Bernice Belton's number given there?
It is not.
Hmm. Bernice's number may well be in the phone book, so if anybody's interested in talking to her on this issue, certainly they can.
I can try to look that up.
Right, well, yeah, I mean...
Call in.
And Bernice, of course, could call in and discuss this issue on the air if she wishes, and that would be perfectly fine with me. Again, my concern about all this is, I don't like being shoved out of an office and made a pariah, and naturally I take personal offense to that, but...
Even any cake or ice cream.
Yeah, with no cake or no ice cream, nothing, man. But I'm also concerned that my primary concern is that there's no this is happening at a time when the dolphin seems to me to be the key target.
Mm-hmm.
And Lydia's pointed out that I don't know this. I can't step inside the minds of the people on the steering committee. I'm only inferring, and that is always a dangerous process. What's your perspective on this, Becky? I mean, the dolphin is coming up on Tuesday. The Housing Committee has been repeatedly sending letters and making presentations to City Council to respect the membership's general May 31st resolution that said, don't go further with this project until you get guarantees. You know, protect every tenant who is currently there. And the city council ignored that on July 25th. And now the steering committee suddenly dissolves the housing committee.
Well, I think that there are people on the steering committee who would like to preserve the status quo with Mercy Charities Housing. Mm-hmm. They would want Mercy Charities Housing to stay in place with all these goodies they get, and that they don't want the public scrutiny. They don't want the tenants really to have a voice unless that voice, you know, supports the status quo. And I'm really just surprised at the great lengths that they're willing to go to suppress that information coming out to the general public. I mean, the May 31st resolution called for setting up a forum. My understanding and things that were said at the meeting was that they wanted all sides to have time to present their point of view. And that's what this forum is.
And the forum is still going forward, we should say. The Mercy Charities has pulled out. I guess we're going to try, those of us who are on the forum and who are involved in it, to present Mercy Charities' perspective through video clips, through tapes, through their...
If people like... Elizabeth Vogel of Mercy Charities Housing, or Veronica Lopez Duran, formerly of the Redevelopment Agency and now of Mercy Charities Housing, if these people do not come, and they have been invited to this forum, we will have videotaped clips of things that they have said at previous meetings that were open to the public, and I think that we'll be able to present a balanced side, even if these people don't come. But of course, it would be much better if all parties came and discussed this issue in an open way.
Well, I know the forum was supposed to happen this summer, wasn't that right, Becky? I know you've had a very key point, a very key role.
Yeah, it was originally scheduled for July 21st.
This is going to be a televised forum, right?
And it's kind of ironic because now the steering committee is complaining that the forum is too near the election, and yet it was the steering committee who actively prevented that forum from taking place on July 21st.
Mm-hmm.
We had already reserved the room for it, and we had to cancel that.
And it was because Mercy Charities Housing stepped in and said, we aren't going to participate, right? That was a similar.
That
kind
was
of
the
process.
Reason given.
Well, let's put it this way: some of the same things were happening.
Yeah.
They didn't dissolve the housing committee at that time, and they didn't disaffiliate themselves.
This is an extreme step, and I'm not sure it's legal because, according to SCAN bylaws, any resolution passed by the general membership has sway, and the steering committee is actually subservient to the general membership.
You know, it's interesting. Isn't this kind of analogous where the public elects city council members Crone, Fitzmaurice, and Sugar in the hopes that they will do something meaningful around low-income housing, that they will do something meaningful around rights for homeless people and other areas, about reforming the staff so the staff doesn't have all these incredibly entrenched powers. And instead of carrying out the will of the public, they do their own kind of little steering committee, city council being its own steering committee deal. Similarly at SCAN, the SCAN membership votes protection for the tenants, but the little group in the middle of the steering committee decides what's really going to happen, and it seems to be the opposite of what the SCAN membership was voting.
I really can't explain the action of the steering committee in how this could possibly give them give SCAN a good name as an organization, as an open organization, as an all-inclusive organization, as a democratic organization. I mean, all of this decision goes against all of that.
You know, it also has to be said that...
And it's bound to have bad publicity for SCAN candidates just before the election.
As it should.
I don't know what they're thinking.
I don't think SCAN should get away with this kind of stuff. I think it reveals what's really going on, and people should know
about
it.
Remember, it's 9 people out of an organization of almost 600 members.
I get a little upset when I see this kind of thing happening, and I think that actually some of the housing committee members who want to see this reversed would prefer to see the steering committee look, let's revisit this issue, let's do it at a time when everybody's informed, they know
I do have that number handy if you're interested in it. The end of the memo did say if you had any further questions about what the steering committee is doing, contact the two co-chairs, Bernice Belton and Sandy Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have both their numbers here.
Mm-hmm.
If listeners are interested in getting information from the horse's mouth, Bernice Belton's number is 476-4685. And Sandy Brown, geez, I'm not really sure what number to give for her. I have her home and her work number, and from what I understand, both are kind of off limits. So, but here, I'll give her email. You can contact Sandy Brown at sandy@cruiseio.com.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Becky. I understand you're going to be, I guess there's a Residente Unidos meeting tomorrow at 7:30 down at the Lee Brandt Garage, I should say the Lee Garage in 124 Lee Brandt Street, a half a block from the boardwalk, and if people are invited. Anything
more
you want to say?
Those meetings are bilingual, so English and Spanish speakers are both welcome at Residentes Unidos meetings.
Hey, thank you.
And, you know, we really are concerned about what will happen to the Dolphin once it's purchased by the city on Tuesday, which looks like is likely to happen, with Mercy Charities stepping in to do the management. Because of their criteria on who can live there, they probably will begin evictions of anyone who is not legally on the leases, and that could be quite a number of people. Could be wind up in the streets, and our position, both at the housing committee and at Huff, is that the city should not be taking any action towards affordable housing that ends up causing increased homelessness.
I think that's a good position, and I hope that people call the city council at 420-5017, which you can do now, and tell them hold off on that property acquisition, give it a month, and do it after the election. And if you do it, hold off on the Mercy Charities housing management, because that also is, you know, a question which is extremely controversial. And if you do give it to Mercy Charities, make sure there is guarantees that everybody there will not be evicted unless they're doing something like not paying the rent. People who are paying the rent, whether they're on the lease or not, should be allowed to continue their tenancy. Thanks a lot, Becky.
Sure.
Well, that's one of the problems, Robert, is the language in this resolution that you were reading earlier. At the end, it says that the only protections they're giving the current residents are for the legal residents. And so, like you said, people that aren't on the lease currently may not have any protection whatsoever.
You're on the air with Free Radio. We have about 35 seconds.
Well, Robert, that's plenty of time. I'm working on my memoirs of Santa Cruz politics in the 1990s. It's called The Triumph of the Blowhard.
I see. Anything else?
Have a good show. See you later.
Thank you.
The Triumph of the Blowhards. We know that one.
Wow. So I want to thank you for being with us on this edition of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. We got in the broadsides this week, and hopefully we're going to give it out again. If you want to challenge the SCAN Steering Committee, you should come to the SCAN General Membership Meeting. You don't have to be a member. If you want to observe this process, you can still see it, 7 o'clock on Wednesday night at the Community Room at the Police Station. That's near the Loudoun-Nelson Center. Tuesday again, City Council, 5 o'clock. Be there to help support the Dolphin tenants and the Lee tenants who are fighting for basic guarantees that they're not going to lose their homes. And Residente Unidos, the tenant organization, meets at 7:30 on Monday night. That's at the Lee Garage at 124 Lee Brandt Street. Come back and join me again on Thursday, 6 to 8, on Bathrobe Spears Broadsides here on Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 FM. And please stay tuned for the little red hen, who is already laying a few eggs into the studio. In fact, I'm going to get out of here so I don't get under her yoke. And that's just a yoke, friends. Thank you for being with us. Thank you.